Welcome back to The Villain Edit, where two allegedly smart people talk about the dumb reality shows they watch. I'm Monty Ashley.
I'm Ryus Hall.
Ryus, have you noticed we don't have theme music?
I thought that was our theme.
Our theme is lack of music?
Yes.
That's a good angle, because there's lack of music everywhere.
Well, I felt it makes it more real, because we're talking about reality TV.
Well, first of all, as you know, reality TV, not that real. You know, people will tell you that and feel they're very clever. But what I mean is, if we own the concept of no music, like, there are copyright violations all over the place all of a sudden. Everywhere you go where there's no music, that's our theme.
Wow, we could be rich.
So, I have some ideas for theme songs. I did a search on public domain music.
Oh, that's the best music.
So, my first thought was, what if, you know how a lot of times when it's time to eliminate someone, people start talking really slowly, then they say, I am sorry, pause. I have to announce, pause. The person who will be leaving us, pause.
Is?
Right.
Commercial break.
And in between all of that, you get some exciting music. So what if we kind of went something like that? Welcome to The Villain Edit.
I don't know if I feel that lively. I'm not sure I can live up to that music.
Okay.
It's a lot of pressure.
Too intense. I hear you. Here's another option from the same page. Welcome to The Villain Edit.
That's
kind of a different feel.
It does, but it makes me feel like something on the Lifetime channel where someone's about to die a horrible death.
Ooh.
They play that music and then they say, here's the tragic story of blah, 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 and the last day she ever came home from school.
Ooh, that's good. That is a different podcast from ours, though.
Yeah.
So I got one more we could try out.
Even the dog hates this.
Okay, we won't do what is listed here as the burpy burp song.
Good dog, Bianca.
So I guess what you're saying is we'll just keep trying and I'll come up with
No, I liked the first one. The first one's fine.
So that genre, certainly.
The first one is fine. I'm okay with that.
All right. So we watched some reality shows this week.
Boy, did we ever.
We finished watching Hunted about 5 minutes ago. Do you remember anything that happened?
A guy with a beard's wife came to tell him that they were going to have a baby boy. They flew her into an airport.
Yes, they flew her in on a private plane to an airport where the two fugitives and her talked about their upcoming baby, then took a picture with
a local newspaper
and email, put it on Facebook to taunt the hunters.
Which I think is a bad plan.
Of course it's a bad plan.
I don't think taunting the hunters is going to help. Well, and there's a lot of money at stake. Maybe you focus on running away, not posting selfies.
This is the team where one of the guys' job is operates an escape room. And I'm,
oh God, those guys.
Yeah, I'm certain he just wants to be a supervillain.
Who doesn't?
True. Another thing that happened on this episode, the only other thing I remember, is that one of the hunters interrogated a witness over Skype.
What? I have no memory of a witness being interrogated over Skype.
He was saying things like, I know you better than you know yourself. And he thought he was very intimidating, and he wasn't.
No, it's hard to be intimidating over Skype.
I will be honest with you. My interest in Hunted went down dramatically this week when previously .TV stopped paying me to cover it for them.
Oh, I understand how that works.
I am proposing that we drop Hunted and replace it with MasterChef Junior, which has just cut to like 15 or 20 kids.
Okay, I like that. MasterChef Junior is an awesome show, and it doesn't make me want to take a two-hour shower.
No.
Like The Bachelor does. We're going to talk about that later.
Okay, so that's resolved then. Hunted, you gone. I think it would be an interesting show if you told us the rules everybody actually had to follow. But as it is, pretending that there aren't any rules that they're following and all of this is just happening organically is 100% unconvincing, and it makes the show just not work for me.
Absolutely.
Let's run through Curse of Oak Island really quickly.
Curse of Oak Island, they made some big discoveries this week.
Name one.
Well, they got some wood carbon dated and found out it was from the 16 to 1700s.
Yes, that is wood they found in a hole. They dug down.
And it was round cut wood, which matches the description of wood that has been put into the hole in the past. So I'm willing to...
Unfortunately, before you're willing to do anything, they continued to dig after that and got all the way down to the bedrock and found nothing.
True.
And they were just baffled by this. It How makes no sense. It's completely illogical, they kept saying. Also, they looked at some rocks.
Oh, they did. Some of those rocks looked like human faces. If you projected a picture of a human face onto a rock,
yeah,
and as soon as the projection disappeared, it looked like a rock again.
And some of the rocks were smoother in some parts of them, suggesting that they had maybe been dragged at some point in the last 400 years.
Or perhaps someone had sanded down or filed them off.
Or maybe it just rains a lot in Nova Scotia.
It was sandstone, and that's a fairly soft stone.
Yeah.
I mean...
The two main guys, Rick and Marty Lagina, were also on Stephen
Colbert... Oh, they were on the Colbert Late Night Show. Is
yeah.
that the Tonight Show with Stephen Colbert?
No.
Oh.
I believe Jimmy Fallon has the Tonight Show. Colbert has the Letterman Show. So,
okay.
The Late Show, I think. Anyway, they were terrible on it, which surprises me because...
Because their only thing was... The only question he really asked was, can you tell us about the mystery of Oak Island?
Yeah, they were being teed up for the standard Reader's Digest in 1795. Two young boys saw people digging. They came back the next year and dug. They found wood, they found wood, they found wood. They came back as adults, they found wood, they found a mysterious plaque, water came in.
Yeah.
It's
basically that story. That's exactly what they needed to say.
And
they were unable to convey this. Now, they own a company called Oak Island Tours.
Yes, the so real could, purpose of their television show, I believe, is to get people to come to Oak Island to look at this hole. They should be good at explaining it. And Stephen Colbert wanted them to explain it, but they just couldn't.
I know, and Colbert knew the story, so he was kind of trying to coach them through, but I think they were just very nervous about
yeah.
being on TV.
Their TV show is in, like, the fourth season.
Right, but it's not the kind of show where you have to sit down and look at a camera and talk to somebody that's interviewing you that maybe you're intimidated by. It's totally different from being on a talk show.
I'm going to suggest that many of the things that happen on their television show involve them learning lines and then sitting down and talking about them. At any rate, it was a very disappointing appearance. I don't know exactly what I was hoping for, but as with everything else connected with the Oak Island, I didn't get it.
Oh, and they were supposed to bring something on to show him that was an important find.
Oh, yeah. Colbert was like, show this to the camera. What is this? It's coconut fiber. And then they couldn't explain why coconut fiber is important, because it isn't.
Coconut fiber is important because Oak Island is off Nova Scotia and coconuts are not... Because Oak Island is off Nova Scotia and coconuts are not native to it. Therefore, any coconut fiber that is found was imported from somewhere else.
And it is believed that the coconut fiber was used to keep the fabled box drains open. Although apparently regular ships just used it for packing, so...
Yeah, it was just used to pack stuff.
So, basically, same as usual on Curse of Oak Island, nothing interesting happened. I'm amazed by this show.
I know, how can it still be on? There's a two-hour season finale
oh, yeah.
next week.
Season finale coming up. They're going to dig another hole, and, spoilers, not find anything, and this will baffle them.
It's the baffling that's baffling to me.
Yeah, like... They say, it makes no sense. Well, what if you consider there's nothing down there?
Yeah, then it makes perfect sense.
We watched Face Off. Face Off?
Face Off was awesome.
Continues to be a fun show. The regular judges are back. And I thought when they announced this season's gimmick of only eliminating people on the even-numbered episodes, Mackenzie Westmore said people will be eliminated based on 2 weeks' worth of work.
Right.
The judges were not here last week, so they did not see the Monster High dolls.
I guess.
And they did not comment on the Monster High dolls at all. The elimination was done 100%.
Just on this week's work.
Yeah. So,
which I'm fine with. This week's work was very indicative of people's skill levels.
Well, it means you really don't have to try that hard on the off weeks, right? All that's...
Yeah, but they... I don't think... You don't... All right, let me gather my thoughts here. I think they do still have to try hard on the off weeks. I think that they are judged on the two past weeks. It's just that the judges weren't there on this week, and so they got a pass on that.
I hope that's true. This week, what did they do?
They built ice queens.
Ooh, ice queens.
Yes.
One of them got in trouble because their ice queen was too androgynous and masculine, which made me mad because it was one of my favorite looks. And also, probably one of the more famous ice queens in movies is Tilda Swinton in The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Tilda's a little androgynous, I suppose.
I guess when you're casting somebody and you say, I want that androgynous actress, you might only be thinking of Tilda Swinton.
It could be, yes.
She might have been cast as Orlando, the most canonically androgynous character in literary history.
All right, so you think that androgyny is not a reason for people to be marched down on the Snow Queen.
I think that character looked great, and there's nothing wrong with an androgynous look.
Their complaint was that the headpiece, which had the crown of icicles sticking out of it, we saw a lot of icicle crowns this week, was applied too low and made her face look... And instead of extending the lines of her face up, made her face look shorter and rounder.
Yes. Now, I'll quickly say this about icicles. I'm sick of them. People on this show make icicles a lot, and they all look fine, but they all look like plastic icicles. You know, they're all working with the same color palette most of the time. Like, here's a light blue icicle shape. One of the teams did ice armor that looked very much like armor made out of craft foam.
Well, it was made out of craft foam.
Could explain it.
We got to see them making it out of foam and spray painting it. They were trying to go for some rocky, craggy looks. I felt like it was reasonably successful, but I also felt like I had seen this armor at science fiction conventions and that it wasn't necessarily on the most skilled cosplayers.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is it looked like an easy, quick armor to build, and it looked like an easy, quick armor when it was done.
Now, teams we liked, Sig and George...
Yay.
Who I continue to really enjoy. George, as usual, flung himself into the having fun part of this episode, which was they were all in this fake snow outside the lab at the beginning. There was a snowball fight led by George. There were snow angels made by George. And when Sig and George were making a scepter out of a vacuformed spine and skull.
Yes, they were using that as a... They were pretending it was a beer bong.
Yes, and I would not be surprised to learn that one or both of them actually made a spine and skull beer bong after they got
that,
back.
Because it looked really cool. Also, let's talk about the snow a little. There are people in this show who are from California who had never seen snow.
Yep.
I believe they still haven't seen snow. What they saw was some ground-up ice.
Yeah, I told this story in my article on previously.tv. I'll tell it briefly here.
I didn't know that.
Growing up in San Diego, snow was a mysterious alien thing to me. It still is. This stuff is weird. What are you guys doing? So we would go to SeaWorld, who you may remember from the major motion picture Blackfish. And they had a thing called Snow World, where us poor, deprived San Diego kids could play in the snow and make snowmen and have snowball fights and go sledding. And it was basically crushed ice. So the snowmen, pretty easy. Like, this stuff did not melt. It was solid. Sledding, perfect.
Snowball fight's a little painful.
Very painful. And that's what it looked like was happening here.
Yeah, that girl that had never seen snow before said, I didn't think it would hurt this much, and I felt bad for her.
It's normally what you hear somebody say on The Bachelor.
Oh. And speaking of The Bachelor.
Sure.
Or do you want to talk more about Face Off?
I got one more thing on Face Off.
All right, let's hear it.
The winning team kind of thought past the idea of a snow queen. They had kind of a pine tree look, and it was starting to sprout because their concept was that the snow queen's hold on the forest was waning as the ice melted.
Right, and so she had like armor, like an armor chest plate that was made out of it was sculpted to look like bark.
And there were
little tiny pieces of tree, of evergreen poking out of it that were, yeah.
Yeah, so from a color standpoint, that was a nice change. There was some green on her. And as host Glenn Hetrick pointed out, they didn't just say, we're going to make ice. They said, this is ice on what? This is snow on what? And I thought that level of planning really came through.
I really liked Sig's piece. I felt it was what they did was they cast clear silicone, put makeup on underneath it so that the makeup showed through the silicone appliance.
Yeah. And the first,
and it looked great.
The first time they put on the makeup, Rice immediately said, "That's going to have to be darker." And then we saw them, because it was like a half inch thick silicone.
Yeah.
And they tried it. They put the silicone up, said, oh, we're going to need to make it darker. We need to not blend the edges of the makeup because the translucent silicone will do that for us.
Yeah. So I really liked what they did. I think they came in second. They were
They were not in the top, but also they had immunity.
Oh, you're right. They had immunity. Well, they should have been in the top. I think the winner was correctly chosen.
I liked the teamwork there because in the design phase, Sig came up with this idea and he was able to ask George, is this too crazy?
And
you don't get that when they're working alone. I think it really shows good collaboration for Sig to say, my role is I push it, I come up with the off-the-wall ideas, and George says, okay, we're not doing those. We're doing this one.
Yeah. You need a guy that has some focus.
I'm going to use that as the segue to The Bachelor. You need a guy that has some focus.
Oh, The Bachelor needs that pretty badly.
Bachelor Nick is not good at this, right?
He's been on, what, 3 different Bachelor shows?
He was a contestant on 2 Bachelors, and he was on Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay, so he's been on 3 shows.
Yes.
He has proposed to somebody, but they turned him down, I guess?
Yeah, he didn't...
He has not yet found his true love.
He didn't win either of the bachelorettes he competed on. In this one, he spends a lot of time crying.
He does a lot of crying this week.
Like, this is very rough on him, you guys.
It is. It's like he's never done it before. He has to send girls home who claim that they're in love with him, and it breaks his heart every time because he's not in love with them. And I'm like, isn't that what the show is about?
But the way he's sending them home, okay. The way I understood The Bachelor to work is, for the most part, you have an episode with a number of dates, and at the end of the date, there's a rose ceremony in which the bachelor or bachelorette says, I offer you this rose. I offer you this rose. I offer you this rose.
Somebody does not get offered a rose.
And that person is very sad and goes home, but the focus is on him choosing which girls stay with him.
Right, but that is not how it works.
This guy's got no interest in rose ceremonies. He's cutting women left and right in the middle of the episode, just, this date isn't going well. Go home.
You just tried to strangle me. You're out of here.
Yeah, so he hasn't been having rose ceremonies, and he's making the focus be on the elimination rather than the keeping, which I think is really adding to the negative vibes of this whole situation.
Yeah, it's really kind of depressing.
Like, St. Thomas, everybody hated St. Thomas, and he canceled their cocktail party again, because why would he want to spend any time with these women? And off they went to Bimini, which is exactly the same place. Like, everyone's all, oh, an island paradise. Oh, look at the water. Yeah, it's just...
Weren't you just on an island paradise and you were miserable?
So their dates involved... One of them was snorkeling and underwater makeouts, which...
Yes.
I've tried. It's not great.
No.
You get a lot of water in your mouth.
Yeah, it's no.
There was the group date, no, the two-on-one date. 3-on-1. I guess it was the group date.
I guess it was a group date. So there where did they go there?
Almost nowhere. Like, there was Corinne and two... Oh, that was the swimming with sharks one.
So, oh, you're right. They went swimming and they saw... They went swimming off of a yacht.
There was real 70s porn music as the girls stripped down to their bathing suits.
Right. Even that was inappropriate in a weird way.
Like, they're in their bathing suits a lot, and you made them wear these bathing suits, show. So don't act like they're crazy skanks to be stripping down to them for when they go swimming. I will say, I'm not convinced they actually saw sharks. Those shots reminded me a lot of Survivor... Where,
those might have been some stock footage sharks.
You know on Survivor how you will see a snake, and then you will see a person, and then you'll see a snake, and then you'll see a person? It was like that with the sharks.
I don't know. That one girl did freak out and start crying because she said she saw a shark.
She freaked out and started crying, and that got Nick to leave the water and soothe her in the boat. Freaking out and starting crying gets people to soothe you. I think that's why Nick does it.
Yeah, maybe.
This way, when he tells a woman she has to go home and he starts crying, she says, oh, it's okay.
It's all right,
you'll
sweetie.
Find your perfect lady who isn't me.
Yeah, that's pretty emotionally manipulative and pretty sleazy, which seems to fit right in on this show, by the way.
Then Nick went on a single date with Danielle. They went to a waterfront bar. It looked to me... about 9:30 a.m. and rainy and windy as heck, based on the way the light was.
Yeah, based on the light, it was early morning when they filmed it, and they were someplace that was windy and misty, and it did not look warm or pleasant.
Yeah. At one point, Nick said in an interview, Danielle and I seem to be having trouble having a natural conversation, and I have several theories on why that could be.
What are they? Let's hear them.
You're on television. At least one of you is pretty dumb. This is a super unnatural situation. And you don't like each other.
That could be it.
So this was one of the cases where he said, you know what? You're gone.
Right.
And she had to go back to the villa in tears and pack her stuff.
Yeah, that's...
Which, if you do the rose ceremony, women know when to expect it and they're already packed.
Right.
This led to...
Danielle was pretty screwed over there. She was crying a lot. It wasn't pleasant to watch.
No,
it just made
not.
Everyone sad.
Like, I don't feel like he's going to find true love. I don't... This is just people being miserable and being put through paces by the production.
It is. And the women... I don't understand. I do not understand the whole, I'm falling in love with you, when you've only had one single date together and you've never seen this guy without a crowd of people around him. I don't think that's how you find true love. Maybe I'm wrong. Well,
I will say, one of the things I like about this show is when we see the people just hanging out. Like, you don't really see Nick hanging out with the girls, but you do see some shots of the girls at home. And it's interesting to me that a lot of the time... Corinne is just one of the girls.
Right. The show makes you think everyone hates Corinne and Corinne hates everyone.
Because everybody watching the show hates Corinne.
Right. But that's because it's the villain edit.
Yeah.
That's a little plug for our show.
We need the theme. Hang on.
Okay.
Go on, say it again.
Because that's the villain edit. Beep, burp, 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 burp. Well, clearly that's the theme music we should be using.
So, I like seeing the girls hanging out at home. I always wonder what Nick does all day. Because his time...
I think he lifts weights. I think he's in the gym some of that time.
That makes sense. They've got people carefully measuring his stubble to make sure...
Right, he's got to make sure his facial hair is exactly the right length.
So, this episode, we saw some of his suite. Because the girls are in a villa... for a change. It's nice.
And they keep Nick in a hotel.
Yeah. So this is the episode where Corinne completely organically says, I'm going to go deal with this, which, Okay, one.
Okay, first off, Nick has stormed out in tears yet again, saying, "I don't even know if I want to be on a show."
He's Woo-hoo. The Bachelor. You can't storm out in tears when you're the object of desire. It doesn't make narrative sense.
Well, he did anyway.
So, Corinne
and all the girls are sitting at home freaking out because, oh my God, what if he leaves the show? How will we ever find true love without television, etc.
Right, and so Corinne gets dressed, puts on her makeup, which I liked. That was a cool scene because it was like she's putting on her war paint.
Right.
And then she walks out the door and then, I'm assuming, gets a ride to the hotel because there's no way she's allowed to know where he is.
Also, she cannot walk in those shoes.
Oh my God. She's got these like 4-inch high heels and she's walking so precariously in them down the hallway.
It's almost endearing how badly she walks in those heels. Those are some serious fuck me shoes. And that's because you can't stand up or defend yourself while you're wearing them.
So she knows what suite he's in, and it's a nice suite.
It's standard.
She knocks, he opens it, he's mic'd up already.
What a shock.
She asks, "What were you doing?" And he says, "I was just having a nightcap," which at first, that made me really sad.
Because he's just sitting in his room drinking by himself?
Yeah, he's like, "Got no more dates tonight, guess I'll just get drunk." But then he offered her a drink and he had to open the champagne. So he wasn't even doing that.
Yeah, he had to make drinks for both of them when she asked for a drink. He didn't actually have a drink.
So she comes in. She does not mess around a lot and says, "Let's go to your room." And then the rest of the scene, we don't see them. So I believe zero of what happened next.
Yeah.
Like
what did happen next, Monty?
Well,
there was some audio, I remember.
There was some audio of her saying things like, "You have to keep both hands on at all times, no jiggling." And then there was some more rustling, and then he says, "We better slow down."
They said they were doing some kind of massage thing.
Yeah, but like 15 seconds of massage before she jammed on the accelerator, supposedly.
Yeah.
But let's be clear. Because we couldn't see them, they could be either just reading from a script, or, just as likely, all of that was Frankensteined by the production staff. When he said, "We better slow down," they could have taken that from his little bicycle ride.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. They probably did.
So, either way...
So then, she was rejected, and she went back to her, and she stumbled precariously like an antelope.
Like a baby gazelle learning to walk for the first time.
Yes.
She leaves in tears and goes back home.
And none of the other girls know that she's gone over there. They've never mentioned it, so.
And then the next day, I guess, according to my notes, is this the order it happened? He shows up at the villa, just walks in. You don't knock when you enter your own harem.
No, of course not.
And he eliminates another of the women, and I can't remember which one, because the only two names I know are Corinne and Rachel.
Right.
And the reason I remember Rachel is because she had that date with him that was actually kind of sweet.
The New Orleans one?
Yeah.
Then the other girl is Raven.
Yeah, Raven is still
who had
there.
The roller skating date with him. I remember her. She seemed nice.
I liked Rachel. She had a conversation with him where they seemed to actually be having a conversation.
Yeah.
And she's a lawyer and she seems smart. And they announced this week, before this episode, she's the next Bachelorette.
So I guess she's going to get eliminated soon.
Yeah. Everybody thought she'd be eliminated this week. She wasn't. So they're just letting us know, okay, this smart, pretty person you all like, don't worry, she doesn't win.
Yeah, that's a very strange choice for the network, but
like, now I'm just rooting for her to get eliminated quickly so that she can get over this dingus and get ready for her own season.
Yeah, she needs to get away from this dingus. Everybody needs to get away from this dingus. It's not like he's an evil or bad person. He's just not ready for a relationship. He's
not ready to be the Bachelor at any rate.
No.
Like, I would have thought they'd just wind you up and say, "All right, here's who we want you to eliminate. Go out there and do that." But he's really not enjoying this.
No, everyone on the show seems miserable.
That's part of...
Except possibly for Corinne.
Well, Corinne's miserable now because she got rejected. Her and her platinum vagine.
Oh, jeez. Let's not talk about that.
I did kind of like the end credits thing where two of the other girls stacked cheese cubes on her unconscious head.
That was fun.
And then threw cheese cubes into each other's mouth.
Yeah.
Like, actually, cheese cubes and Corinne were your sign of a fun scene this week. Because there was also the one where she was just...
Where she was just stress-eating everything.
You're just doing cheese cube after cheese cube. And you're like, oh, poor Corinne. I guess she's a person and not the sex monster baby girl.
Yeah.
So we're going to keep watching The Bachelor.
God help us.
Yes. Hunted, we are dropping. Very excited about that. Replacing it with MasterChef Junior, who we've skipped a lot of the audition episodes, I hope. I will say, in general, I don't like audition episodes.
Me neither. They're sad.
Yeah, I turned against them with American Idol and So You Think You Can Dance. Which, by the way, So You Think You Can Dance coming back and not a kids season, so I'm super excited about that.
I'm excited about that too, but I don't know if I want to talk about it because it's hard to explain dance.
Yeah.
It's better to talk about shows with stupid drama on them.
That's true. But I will just say, I really like So You Think You Can Dance. The people on that show are so talented. And Kat Deely is my favorite host of a reality show because she cares so much about the kids.
I agree. But I just don't know if I want to cover it on this podcast. That's fair.
Face Off, obviously keeping watching. Curse of Oak Island, big two-part finale.
Ooh, maybe they'll find something. Anything.
I think they will find some wood and some rocks. And a very small piece of metal that was dropped into a hole in 1850.
Oh, you're right. They're looking for that tiny piece of metal that they saw on a camera once.
Well, until next week, I hope you find your tiny piece of metal.
Yes, without too much digging.